Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Monday edition, or did the Packers win, or did the Bears lose edition? I feel bad when anybody loses their job, but Phil Longo getting fired yesterday was not something that I was expecting. Maybe I should have been edition. And the Carl Brooks, did somebody have him as a sleeper? We've had a good week to have him. His left middle finger, anyway, blocking the potential game-winning field goal off of Cairo Santos's foot and right into his finger. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Oh, look at old boy in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. ESPNWisconsin.com. The ESPN app.
You're a distracted,
Alexa.
You're a distracted young fella, aren't you?
I am. Yes, it's true. Your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson back from his non-day off on Friday is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios.
Oh, they took my camera again.
Good.
I'm here.
Good. They probably used it for that broadcast of Muskego McGuano.
Good win for Muskego, eh?
What a game. What a weekend. What a football weekend. Friday, great, Saturday, Sunday.
Great job by Hunter Vaughn and the Dean on the call of that. And also in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. You heard him on the call, and I swear I heard him whistling as they were going to a commercial break as I was listening on the Varsity app synced up with my television.
I was whistling for a lot of that game.
There
Unfortunately,
you go.
Not at the end, but...
No, not at the end. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, buddy. I'm doing just fine this morning. Good W, tough loss Saturday, good win for Jesse's squad on Friday. So to answer your initial question, you never apologize. And the Packers went and got it. They made a play. For as much as I am not a monster fan of Bisaccia and how he approaches things, I give them credit about their approach and how they went about their business to make a play. You're asking guys to make plays. When you need them to make a play, they did make a play.
Uh-huh.
So it's not about, well, they should have ran another play and everybody's trying to blame Eberflus. No, I'm not blaming him for that. What, do you want him to run one more and get one more yard? What, do you think they're going to maybe get 1 or 2 yards? That's about what they would have gotten.
Well, if he gets one more yard, that's 1 yard closer to the goalposts, I guess. But
so maybe
yeah.
The block kick gets that much closer? You don't think the kick is going to get blocked if he's 1 yard closer? Get out of here.
It gets into the end zone instead of at the goal line, yeah.
So is this a good win?
Yeah. So here's the deal. There's never a bad win in the NFL. And you're 7-3, and I'm still waiting for this rocket to launch. Didn't launch yesterday. Mm-mm. And I do think it's a good win. It's a divisional game. I don't know about you. I felt early in the week as the Bears were just breaking up in front of us, I thought, okay, this is a group. But I said from the jump, back against the wall, caged animal mentality is a dangerous thing in this league.
Like the Badgers.
And when you are told you stink and that you're dysfunctional, I give the Bears a ton of credit. They bowed up, and I would bet played their best game of the year yesterday.
Yeah.
And their quarterback, I thought they got rid of the football. They didn't allow the pass rush until the last drive to make any impact. That's an indictment on the Packers, by the way, too. But I thought for all that was done, the Bears outplayed Green Bay, and Green Bay still found a way to win. Mm-hmm. And that is a great quality to have in a football team. So I'm not excited about that win. I'm happy we found a way to get it done. But I'm also, I'm starting to wonder, are we going to see a complete game from this team? Because we haven't. Outside of the Arizona Cardinal game, we have not seen it. We've continued to see the same things over and over. And at some point, you are who you are. So I guess how I would look at it is, dang, fired up that we're 7-3 and positioning ourselves. But are we positioning ourselves to let the rocket go? Or are we just going to sit on the dock and kind of middle around and, oh, there's weather and we don't know? At some point, this baby's got to go because we have not launched yet. We're hovering. And I don't love that vibe. And we're 11 games. This isn't we're three games in. We're four. We're getting to Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving's judgment. That's when judgment day starts going. And I don't love, even though we're 7-3, I don't love how we're executing to become a team that can go win a championship. I don't know if that makes any sense. That's how I feel today.
It does. Weird game offensively, though.
Well, no. So here's what I'm going to say. It wasn't a weird game. The offense, I thought, was really good yesterday.
Well, let me explain why I said that, and then you can continue.
Okay.
The Packers ran 46
offensive off the field.
Plays.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at their drives, touchdown on the opening drive.
Good drive.
Five and out punt.
Not bad.
Red zone interception.
Stupid play.
One snap kneel down to end the half.
Yeah, that's ball.
Touchdown drive on their first drive of the second
real
half.
Real nice. Real nice drive.
Going for it on fourth and goal from the six.
Really dumb move. Arrogant. That was an arrogant play.
And then touchdown drive to get the game-winning points.
Pretty good little finish.
Right, so it's not like they were – it's not like the Bears stopped them necessarily, right? They stopped themselves.
They did.
So it's not like their offense, even though they only had 20 points to show for it, was god-awful, I didn't think. So, Josh Jacobs was great. Christian Watson was great.
Yep.
Like, a lot of good things.
And that was my point was – yesterday, offensively, we were really good. You know, with the exception of the red zone, for whatever reason, it's just not. You know, part of it is penalties, and when Fox put that little clip up there about how many penalties you had in the red zone, bam, big part of why. But we cleaned some stuff up. We didn't have the same amount of penalties. I thought for a road game, there was a lot of really good stuff that happened on offense. Christian Watson was a dog. Josh Jacobs, we leaned on him big time, and he delivered. He is everything we had hoped he'd be. But you don't get enough plays. You don't get – because everybody's like, well, you got to get Reed involved, and you have to get Kraft involved, and you have to do this. And, Jacobs didn't get enough touches. Got to get plays, man.
Love threw 17 passes all day.
Yesterday,
17!
Yesterday, to me, I thought offensively and special teams won the game. The defense stunk. The defense was not good. And why I say that is I don't even know how many total yards, but it was time of possession. It was because you didn't do what you needed to do. And even with all of that, the whole first, 55 minutes of the game, it was not great. You could have validated. You get a sack and a sack. Get off the field. Win the game out there. And you didn't. Third and 19, you let him off the hook. My yes, guy, Denny. Enagbare, let him off the hook. He got kind of wrestled. Uh-huh. Again, I don't want every holding penalty called, so I wasn't that mad about that. But he got wrestled, and then you let Williams get out. He made a big play. The Bears should feel better about Caleb Williams today because I thought he took a step yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's going to be consistent or if that's just fool's gold. I don't know. But the defense yesterday was not good enough. That is an inept offense that had not scored a touchdown in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 25 straight series without a touchdown.
You could sense there, and Tom Brady and everybody's like, oh, challenge that. You just don't know if they're going to get it. It was like desperado. But please get us in the end zone. We don't know if we'll ever get there again. That was the vibe I had watching for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for us to give up as many first downs and as many third down conversions, it was a bad day for Jeff Hafley in this defense. A bad day. And that's why you only get 46 plays. That's why your offense, while it was super efficient, didn't get to put up the bonko numbers I anticipated, because I didn't have a clue that they were going to run 68 plays and average 5 yards a rush and move the ball like that against what was a fresh, coming off rested, bad offense. That, to me, was the biggest blech of yesterday.
Sounds to me like it's your negative. We'll get to those coming up. Just for those of you that were curious statistically, since Tausch brought it up, 391 yards given up to the Bears offense. It looked like they were fundamentally unprepared
for the designed runs by
a pretty good mobile quarterback.
They thought they were playing Kirk Cousins and Goff. That's what we thought.
After we heard so much during the first half of the season about, the reason the pass rush isn't getting home is because we're rushing cautiously.
And their O-line is not good.
Like it's missing Tevin Jenkins.
They're on their third string left guard. It was a bad. There's no way to get around it. It was a bad day for Jeff Hafley yesterday and his crew. Bad.
The Bears were 9 of 16 on third down, and then 3 of those 7 failures on third down that they had.
Yeah, fourth down.
They converted on fourth down.
Yeah.
So essentially, they were 12 of 16.
And
the Bears coming in.
This wasn't the Chiefs or some juggernaut team. This is the team that can't score a point, guys.
In their 3-game losing streak, the Chicago Bears had converted 6 of 40 third down situations.
Say that again. 6 out of 40. And how many touchdowns did they score in that stretch?
That would be a 15% success rate. And yesterday, if you count the fourth downs as conversions, because they did pick them up, 12 of 16. So you put it all together, and there you have a 20-19 win.
I'm not going to lie to you. The more you tell me these stats, the more impressed we won. The more you keep talking, it's like, dang. How the hell did we win this game?
Yeah, well, we won. Not me. What do you keep saying? We.
Oh, I like that you.
They
come on in.
Yeah,
come on in. The
big
water's
win
warm
for us.
Over here.
The water's not. First of all, I'm not sure the water was warm. It was tepid based on yesterday's performance. But they won on the middle finger of Carl Brooks. That's how they won.
I think Slayton would have got it, too, if it didn't go Brooksy.
Well, the bottom line is they don't block the kick, they lose to the Bears.
100%. And if they lose to the Bears, I would not want to be Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, Quay Walker. Like, we're going to have a conversation. Somebody on Green Bay Game Night last night called in and got after me about my Goody standum.
Was it retired Davey fella?
No, he just does that digitally. It was something to do with the first-round picks, and I sent you guys a note.
Great, Bob.
That will be something throughout the course of the week that we look at, and I think there's questions now about Jair and where he's at. And I wanted to believe that we're going to be a lot better on defense, and I still think we can be, but I don't have any – I don't have any answers to why people would say, well, how did we let that happen? How did we allow? And again, they only gave up 19 points. But giving up 19 to the Bears is like giving up 40 to the Lions. You know what I mean? That's how it feels to me.
It's fair.
So the question is, are we going to get better? Or is this who we are as a defense? Because offensively, I don't have a doubt in my mind this thing's going to go. Like, we're going to continue to just get better and better. We stop kicking ourselves in the foot. We're going to score points. Yesterday, if our red zone is...
Kicking ourselves in the foot.
Our red zone yesterday was god-awful. We had, at a minimum of 6 points we should have had that we gave away. We gave them six. It should have been 14. I mean, that's just me being optimistic. And when you hand away 14 points and you still score 20, that puts you at, it would have been mid to upper 20s, which is where you need to be to win in this league. And mm-hmm. we're good enough to do that, even with the limited amount of possessions and plays we had yesterday.
We will get to our positives and negatives, and then we will get to yours. And I am not in the prediction business, as you well know, but I'm very curious.
It should be an interesting day on the yesterday, the post game was very negative.
Here, you are reading my mind. I'm very curious if the call volume and tone will be similar to after a game that they lost. Because even though they won, I sense that there's no joy in Mudville right now. I feel like there's a lot of consternation.
Ricardo, we need you. Ricardo, we're going to need you today. I got
a bad signal, but it's a maple leaf.
Something like that, yeah.
It's not bad. Not bad at all. What also is not bad, it's great, is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed. I think I maybe have the wrong read here. Just wait. What are we talking about here? Isn't it wind? Isn't that we doing wind?
It's wind. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Don't spend another winter shivering with that wind. Ooh, howling through those windows.
Sounds miserable.
Letting all that money fly out there because you don't care to go get these windows replaced. You just love dumping money out your window. Well, don't do it. Take advantage of this deal at Pella. No interest and no payments for 12 months. Keep your home comfortable and save on energy bills thanks to those customizable windows and doors from Pella. Pella can design them to look like they've been a part of your home throughout its history. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends November 30th.
Our positives, our negatives, and then yours. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Get in line now. I would love to spend the next 2 hours and 43 minutes taking your calls. I mean, after we give our positives and negatives. 844-770-3776. If you can't call, you can text. I'm going to jump into the YouTube comments with Jesse's YouTube dwellers. See what they have to say as well. Spent some time on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel watching the football game the other night. I would like to just confess, for those of you that live in Muskego, I don't feel good about this. But I kind of, in my heart, was rooting against your team for no reason other than because Jesse is so obnoxious about his high school. Yeah, I'm telling you. They had McGuanago. I'm sure lots of nice people in that town too, but I did not want. And of course, as soon as the game ends, there's a text from Jesse. Muskego wins in all capital letters.
Back to state, baby.
Which you had nothing to do with.
No response to any of it.
Just
from anybody. No.
Nope. And that was the best part: is no one replied. In our
downtrodden, y'all were.
Well, I was watching Tyson, so I missed that.
That was a thing. Yeah.
And buffering. And your TV was buffering, exactly. 844-770-3776. Our positives, our negatives, and then yours next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
As it go, baby, go, go, go. Rooted in my blues. When I looked up,
844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. We'll get to your calls coming up next. But before we do that, Tausch, your biggest positive and your biggest negative.
Well, Prize Picks was good to old T because of Christian Watson, and he is Mr. Chicago. I don't know, we have to come up with a nickname for him. Windy City Watson? I don't know, WCW? I'm not 100% sure he dominates when he plays down in Chicago.
That was a weak effort.
I'm just throwing stuff out
there. Yeah, the whole commercial
Windy
break.
Windy City Watson is the best you had.
He's been pretty good down there. Can we all agree on that? Great catch. Good for – and by the way, everybody has crushed him about, well, he can't make adjustments on the ball. And some of it's been fair.
Made some adjustments yesterday, am I right?
Great adjustment on that, and just a fantastic diving catch, and then the the understanding to get up and go and to show that athletic. He was a dog yesterday.
Indeed.
And for my part, I thought
– seems like some low-hanging fruit there.
It was great. Well, he was my biggest positive because I have been in his corner since you called him a spindly youngster way back at rookie minicamp back in the day.
Which, by the way, he's still somewhat spindly.
He's getting thicker. He is. And he's becoming I don't know if he'll ever be the nine-route guy and be able to do everything. But I don't know if that will ever be where he's at. But I do know this. And Jesse was kind of poo-pooing him like, oh, you don't even need him on this offense.
That is kind of what Jesse sounds like when he's imitating you.
You do need Christian Watson. And I thought in a game where he didn't get any blanking plays because your defense couldn't get off the blanking field, Christian Watson played a blanking heck of a game.
I would agree. Low-hanging fruit, though it may have been. All right, what's your negative?
Well,
I assume
Josh Jacobs is the low-hanging fruit yesterday. Let's not. And Carl Brooks is LHJ.
Christian Watson had four catches for a career-high 150 yards.
Yeah, he was a dog.
Including the 60-yard catch and run that set up the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, he was
I
a
have
dog.
No problem with your choice, but let's not pretend that it's way high on the fruit tree.
It's higher than Josh Jacobs and Carl Brooks.
It may not have been the lowest hanging fruit, but it was low.
That's fair. All right, I'll agree with you all on that. That is a really good assessment of the scenario. The defense is the part that I couldn't get over the fact that not much pressure on Caleb Williams with an O-line that you gave up 5 yards a carry. I don't know what I could look at. Correct me if I'm wrong, no turnovers, correct?
No takeaways.
I thought just a really bad day for the defense against a bad offense that didn't look bad. Couldn't get off the field on third down or fourth. Just so many different opportunities, and you couldn't do it, and you let the Bears dictate the flow of the game. An offense like that hadn't scored in forever, and you didn't give your offense a chance to have the day that it needed. Now, again, the offense filled its britches down in the red zone. Matt LaFleur, I don't know what the hell he was doing. He was pissed off, so he let his emotions get the better of him a couple times again, which he needs to stop doing. Well, he did.
I am not great at lip reading.
But no, I'm not.
You don't have to be.
I'm not mad about that. I love when he's cussing out the refs on horrible calls. I'm talking about challenging the touchdown, and then also it's fourth and six, dude.
Yeah,
kick the field goal, cut it to two.
But I think, and here's why I brought up the lip reading part, because I agree with you that that's one of the negatives, is that I feel like he has become increasingly emotional on the sideline, and there was a point where you could see he was, and I got to go back and look because I didn't get a chance to last night. I got to go back and look at what he says. He's pissed about something, some play that didn't work, or a timeout they had to take, or something, and he is screaming at the coaches on the headset. And you tell that story about the games that you were injured and having the headset on and listening to what they say about you guys on there. He was cussing out his coaches.
Yeah.
And again, didn't take a lot of great lip reading to know that that's what he was doing there. And it was funny. It was something defensive because he walks by.
It was the two-point conversion. They had to use a timeout to try to stop the Bears' two-point conversion.
Because he walks by Derek Ansley, and then he walks by Anthony Campanile, and he's clearly pissed at the defense, and those guys don't even look at him.
Yeah, you have to. You ask all the time, like, does this bother you, and are you rooting for these guys? No. You take shrapnel. Sometimes you take shrapnel when you're not even there. It's like, what the? Leave my. That's. It is a tough, rough, and you better be humbled when you're on that sideline. It's just how it is. And the head coach has that authority, but then the head coach is going to take shrapnel. And I thought yesterday he made some really poor decisions. But I want to give him credit before we take calls. I love his approach with timeouts at the end of halves. I think it's great. He is always in aggressive mode. He forces the opponent to run the football maybe when they don't want to because you don't want to give the ball back. Even though maybe, like in the Lions game, they'll give you seven, he still sticks with that plan. And his fourth and four game where he's at around midfield, I love the fact. I wish more.
How did that guy jump
he's
off
an
sides?
Because nobody was telling him. I knew he was going to jump because there's usually the D-line will sit there and they'll say, and they'll look over at the side, oh, yeah, you're going to get us. And maybe one of these times Green Bay will run a play. They were not running a play there.
No.
And it's genius. And the way you do it is because you don't even, like, look to have the punt team. You are – he's in his little deal, and he's like, hey, let's see if we can get these idiots to jump.
Right.
Get up on the line. Get up on the line. And they get up there, and they don't let anybody sub.
93.
They don't let guys talk and say, hey, it's fourth and four. If it's fourth and seven, all right, you still shouldn't jump. But it's just it's something that they coach. And I want to make sure, for as much as I gave LaFleur grief on some things from yesterday, he's got his team dialed in on those at the 12 men on the field, the Rodgers stuff. He's got his guys locked in and ready to go. And that steals possessions, too. They would have only had 38 plays if they didn't steal that. Like, that got them another 5 or 6 plays running that little jump play or whatever they call it.
All right, so let me get to my positives and negatives so we can get to the phone lines. My positive, I will take the low-hanging fruit because we talked about it on Green Bay Game Day with Gabe Neitzel and John Anderson and Brian Bulaga and Alex Strofe. You want Josh Jacobs to carry the offense. And he did. 134 total yards from scrimmage. Made a ridiculous catch. For a guy who had gone 212 career receptions without a touchdown catch, his hands are underrated. I mean, the catch he makes early in the game was pretty impressive. Runs the ball, again, 4 yards a carry. Has the touchdown run when they couldn't do anything else right in the red zone. So he deserves that. The low-hanging fruit for the negative is that Jordan Love threw another interception. He's got 11 on the season. 8 games, 8 times he's thrown at least one interception in those games for him this season. But my negative, Tausch, and I want to get into this a little bit later when we're going through the phone calls. What's the deal with Jaire Alexander?
That's a great question.
Like, look, I have been a defender of his, and I don't understand. I have been. Remember when Frank Zombo, and if you thought you were going to get a Frank Zombo reference in this show today, congratulations, what a surprise. Frank Zombo once broke his shoulder blade in pregame warmups, okay? And so the Packers played one man down the rest of the game. And I remember them talking about it afterward, like, you know, so we feel so bad for Frank, but the real problem is you plan your game day roster expecting to have a guy available, and to lose him in pregame warmups is a problem. Well, they didn't lose Jaire in pregame warmups, but he goes through a pregame warmup, pre-workout, to confirm he can go.
Yep.
They decide for him to be active. They decide clearly, and we'll ask Matt LaFleur more about it today, this afternoon when we talk to him. Clearly they wanted him on a pitch count, right? Because they were shuttling him in and out the first series or two. And then that's it. It's shut down. And my question is he now the player that if he's 100%, he'll play, and if he's not, he's not? Like, say what you will about how disgruntled Charles Woodson was his first year in Green Bay, and you remember it well, and he's admitted on this show how bad it was. But the guy played with a shoulder that would pop out on a regular basis.
Yep.
And he wore a harness, and he didn't miss games. Didn't practice a whole hell of a lot, but he played through injury. Guy tried to go back into the Super Bowl with a broken collarbone.
Yep.
I don't know what to make of Jaire Alexander right now. Is this not disconcerting?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Here's the deal. You gain a level of trust between player, doc, training staff, and the coaching staff because of what you said. There's guys that they need time to get ready, and then once they go play, they're going to go play. And I know there's injuries come up, and you know something is nagging. You have to make sure you're honest with the team, with the training staff. You have to make sure that they know where you're at because you're doing a disservice to your squad if you mm-hmm. can't go out there. Now, Jaire, maybe in his heart of hearts he practiced. Maybe in his heart of hearts he thought he can go play 60, 70 snaps yesterday. But if he didn't think that and they didn't know that, then you leave because they brought up Rochelle, and I don't think they addressed him.
They did not. He was inactive.
So this stuff all trickles down to your special teams and everything else. So I'm not going to go as so far as to say that you shouldn't trust him, but you better make sure he's healthy because what you did yesterday, that is that not only when you start talking about scheme and how you're going to approach trying to stop the Bears, you also are you're putting other guys in a position where they don't get as much practice time. And it's just it's a trickle-down effect of things you don't want to have happen. So I would guess you better Ronald Reagan it and trust but verify that he can do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you go about doing that. You have to just – there has to be that level of trust between players, coaches, and training staff. And that gets breached when something like happens yesterday where he's unable to take very many snaps after the first couple.
Yeah, we will discuss that more in depth as the week goes on. I'm eager to hear what Matt LaFleur has to say about that. He'll talk to us.
I would bet Jaire doesn't play next week.
I thought he, you know, I like to believe the best in people, and it sure seemed like with Jeff Hafley, with the training staff, with the strength and conditioning staff, with the airing out things with LaFleur. In fact, Jaire said to Rob Domofsky last week that the suspension might have been the best thing that ever happened to him because it snapped him out of things. But then when something like this happens, it's hard to reconcile that. So we'll talk more about that. We're going to get to the phone lines next. 844-770-3776. The full phone line alert has been sent out from Jesse.
Does that
so that's
make you
exciting.
Happier or first time? Like, what makes you happier?
No, I think full phone lines edges out first-time trivia contestant.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I have my
what
Johnson.
What if Up North Joe was doing the trivia?
Well, then full phone lines definitely beats it out.
Wow.
Oh, snap.
Get ready for spring. And do it now.
I was ready for my hat.
Oh, talk about your hat before. It's
no,
beautiful
I got
hat.
My hat on. Go ahead,
Johnson
please.
Johnson & Sons continue. Paving hat with Jason. Get ready for spring and do it now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over the winter. You got potholes and crack curbs and drainage issues. If things are bad now, they're only going to get worse. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed. Schedule a free, no-obligation quote and get a walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement work by spotting fatigue, cracking, standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, or more. Don't scare away your customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now. Save money later. JohnsonandSonsPaving.com.
844-770-3776. It's also coming in hot in the YouTube chat section of the program. After a very lengthy discourse about Phil Longo, which we weren't really discussing.
Oh, they're doing the Longo show in the YouTube chat, huh?
Indeed. I'm surprised there hasn't been a Longo Dunzo reference in the YouTube chat on ESPN Madison. Your call's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
Let's get to your calls. Packers beat the Bears 20-19, or did the Bears beat the Bears? Depends on your perspective. People in Chicago
not pleased, as you can probably imagine. Let's start.
I don't even know if it's that they're not pleased. I think it's just...
they're defeated?
Just, yes. Like, defeated on top of defeated. Like, fun videos.
Ice cream on top of ice cream.
They are beaten into the dirt.
If one play goes differently at the very end, though, they feel great today.
Yeah, but it didn't.
They would say, wow, Caleb Williams played such a great game. Yeah. He looked like a real quarterback. Offense was moving.
Jesse, but it didn't.
But like, it wasn't even related to the offense, how they lost the game.
But they didn't.
Cairo Santos. 844-770-3776. Mike in Texas is first up. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Good, good, good. So my positive is that Jordan Love threw for 76%. I mean, that's a really good stat, provided that he only threw 17 passes, but still.
It's not very many passes, yeah.
Hey, well, at least it was good, you know. The negative is the time of possession. I mean, the Bears had the ball 13 minutes more. I mean, almost a full quarter. And obviously, most of the rushing, I mean, Caleb ran for 70 yards rushing. I mean, they left him so many holes where he just ran up, and it was just so demoralizing on the third and fourth down that it was, you know, pitiful, to say the least.
It's a good word for it.
And I'll just say one thing. Yeah, that was the one thing. Even though they won and it was exciting when they win, I'm still in my head thinking they lost. You know, because I was started thinking they go 6-4. This is a 10-year, you know, 10-game streak is over. So my head, they lost, even though they won. You know, it's just like.
But they didn't.
So, I mean, they didn't. But in my head, I'm thinking they lost. You know.
Wait. So then, does that mean you're sitting there thinking that the Badgers won?
What a weird world. So McGuadago beat Muskego. Like everything's opposite world today.
Well, they did indeed win. Thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate your loyalty.
But I think Mike is I
don't think he's alone. That's what I was going
to
say.
I was going to, and when you heard kind of my opening deal on the Green Bay game night and everything else,
I don't listen to that program.
I don't blame you. That I just there is going to be a we need to be better. And if you hear LaFleur in the locker room, that's what he said. Mm-hmm. He knows they stole one yesterday. Mm-hmm. He knows they beat a team that they didn't deserve to beat, which when you say it against a Bears team that couldn't score, and was it lucky? Yes. Was there – but you earn your own luck. And in this league, you better never apologize. So, no, I can't agree with, well, you know, did they win? They won. 7-3, baby. Let's go. And – but it's time to – you know, I keep saying grow up. We just need to be better. I think we're grown. Maybe that's not fair, but we're just not there. There's something not there yet, and I hope we get there, because if we don't, we're going to be disappointed again. And this is a year where it's there. Like it's you can go get it. Don't be crowning the Detroit Lions. Yeah, they put up 56 on a bad team. Their injuries are starting to pile up. They lost their middle linebacker. They don't have Hutchinson. Like, let's just slow our roll. Don't be crowning the Lions. They're good, and they deserve to be ranked ahead of Green Bay, and I'm not going to argue any of that. But if we can get our blank together, we can go to a Super Bowl, period. And if we play like this, we're not going to, period. A lot of periods.
It's a lot of periods. For those of you who are curious, because I know when Tausch starts saying these things, you are. If the season ended today, the Green Bay Packers would now be the 6th seed in the NFC.
How are the Niners doing? Everybody was had the Niners. Where are they at in Everest?
They are 5-5.
I think they're stuck in that poop. I don't know if they're going to climb out of it.
They are 5-5. They are the Packers' next opponent next Sunday at Lambeau Field. They are out of the playoff picture. In fact, they are 10th out of 16 NFC teams. The teams that would be in the playoffs today, the Lions would have the most important number one seed.
It's a big one seed for a home.
In NFL history.
Yep.
Eagles, winners of the East, the 2 seed.
Yep.
The bad Arizona Cardinals at 6-4, the West champions.
So Green Bay would be playing Arizona in Arizona. To get the season.
I'll take that matchup.
Oh, God, we'd be favored.
You know this season's going to come down to playing the Cardinals now, just from how this has gone for the last month.
No, it will not. I feel
the Atlanta Falcons leading the NFC South at 6-5. Your three wild cards: Minnesota 8-2, Green Bay 7-3, Washington 7-4. The Rams, the Seahawks, and the 49ers are all 5-5.
In the hunt.
One game behind the NFC West leading Cardinals in that division. So all the teams are 500 or better out West. Which is not true.
What kind of laugh was that?
Well, because the NFC North is supposed to be the best division. Now that the Bears are south of 500, they can't say that they're all 500 or better.
Well, it's because they're getting eaten.
They can in the West.
And the Bears getting eaten.
Yeah, let's get to one more call before the break because we got a lot of calls to get to. Let's get to now, Jesse, I don't want to critique your work. Is it Tim in Oregon, Wisconsin, or Tim in Oregon, the States?
I was so sick because you were saying Oregon. I started saying ducks because I didn't want to screw up the Oregon versus Oregon.
I heard a lot less we, by the way, from you.
What do you mean?
A lot of Wisconsin.
Oh, he's trying to not be a total homer.
Such a pro.
Depends if the offense was struggling or not.
That's true. The first quarter and a half, there's a lot of, come on, guys, what are you doing out there? Wisconsin, it's not very good.
Third quarter was big wee.
A lot of wees later, but not
so
much.
Monsieur. Yes, indeed.
This is Tim in Oregon, Wisconsin.
All right. Go Panthers. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Fine, yeah, it's Oregon. I heard that shout out on the Badgers game, but this was the Packers game. After 7-0, the game was pure torture, okay? So my low-lying fruit was second and one at the 6 and should have just run it with Jacobs.
Yes!
Okay, so then they monkeyed around, and it had been 14-3 and blah, blah, blah. So that was my low-lying negative. My positives, obviously, were Jordan Love and Jacobs and Watson. They played really well. They showed that they're top level talent and everything. And I just thought that LaFleur kind of got in the way of the offense and made some calls, and going for fourth down, I think we could have probably had two field goals there and had 6 points on these fourth down things. So that was LaFleur, I thought, had a real problem in the game. The defense, like you said, it was bad, but it only was 19 or maybe 22 points. So it was played pretty good. My low-lying negative, it had to do with two players. One on offense, Kraft should have sagged more on that out that he got overthrown. I mean, Jordan Love is a tall guy. He always airs it out. I didn't think he was aware on that one. And then the other one was that number 55, Unagbari. He had two huge sacks on him and he whiffed on him. He had one, I think, in the first half, and Caleb Ridley bent down. And he whiffed on him.
Yeah.
The second one, he bent down and whiffed on him again. I think it was 3rd and 19. So like that, those two players kind of, I don't know, had some big play opportunities that kind of weren't totally, I don't know, that number 55, he had two huge plays in
JJ
defense. And
Yeah, that's Tausch's guy.
He had a good day other than missing those sacks.
And then wait, one other thing. Caleb Williams. Could have beat Jaden Daniels and Jordan Love in his rookie season. That guy would have been on the top, you know. I mean, he'd have been 1-0 on Jordan Love, 1-0 on Jaden Daniels, you know. And I thought that he didn't. And I thought they played well. And here's another thing. I just think Packer fans, come on, if you're an old Packer fan, you know these Bear games are going to be like this.
Gritty.
You know, there's a huge possibility of losing. And people are so overconfident.
I could sense that as well. Thanks for the call, Tim.
I think everybody's antennas were up on Thursday, Friday. I know mine was. And I'm pretty sure LaFleur bringing people in and talking about the history of it and understanding where that narrative was going all week. I think he tried his best. But I give the Bears credit, too. And I say this all the time. You get a bunch of prideful cats and everybody tells them they stink. They want to punch in the mouth.
That's true.
They're sick and tired of hearing about it.
It's true.
Bears were sick and tired of hearing about the Packers and all, and they played with an edge. And I give them credit. They competed their tuckuses off.
Tuckuses.
And unfortunately for them, just, you know, everybody keeps saying, well, this, and he could have done this. Yeah, but they didn't.
But they didn't.
Let's just keep rolling with it. Yeah, well, they could have done this. Oh, they did. But they didn't. So, yeah.
So, yeah. Couldn't agree more. It's that time of year again. The holidays.
I hope we're doing the jingle again. Are we doing a jingle for Creole?
We are.
It's one of my favorite times of the year.
The girls and I are working on our latest promo. We've got the concept.
Some like doing performances. Oh, well, you now you love doing performances. Interesting.
I don't like
being told what I have to do.
I like being asked.
He likes creative freedom.
Which I think is...
He got complete creative freedom, by the way. Knocked it out the park.
When you give someone a script, it's not creative freedom.
It's fair. I don't think you know the business like you think you do. You get creative freedom.
But you didn't. But what you can get is the perfect gift for your custom holiday gift box filled with all your favorite Kringle favorites from Racine Danish Kringles. You don't need to do any wrapping. All you got to do is, and by the way, I have not gotten to try this yet. I'm hoping that there's one on the way. But their new flavor for the holidays, eggnog Kringle. I am an eggnog guy in moderation. But I am intrigued by the eggnog Kringle. It's created to bring festive cheer to your celebrations. It's filled with a rich, creamy eggnog and topped with a sweet icing and a sprinkle of cinnamon. It's perfect for sharing with your loved ones during the holidays. So go to Kringle.com to place your order or make the call. 800-4-DANISH. Racine Danish Kringles. It's not just a treat. It's a tradition. More of your calls as the Packers beat the Bears. The Bears could have won, but they didn't. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Let's keep rolling with the calls. 844-770-3776. Packers beat the Bears. 20-19. Bears could have won, but they didn't. Let's go to John in Massachusetts. John, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Jason. I'm good. How you doing?
I am great.
Anybody else disappointed Jesse doesn't bring his Boston accent out when our Massachusetts folks call?
Johnny doesn't even sound like he's from Boston.
John's from Wisconsin.
Might be a totally different end of Massachusetts than we used to, huh?
Guys, let me pull my cow over and I can talk to you real quick, okay?
Thank you, Johnny. It's not safe and not practical to drive your car while you're talking to us on the show, huh?
I'll do my best, kid, okay? I appreciate you having me.
What do you think of Tommy Brady on the call yesterday on Fox?
Would you let him speak, for God's sake?
Tommy, what a guy, huh? In Burkhart.
Keep going, Jesse. I love it.
No, we don't love it. We could love it, but we don't.
I love Burkhart.
Oh, my God. All right, before I get to positive and negative, I just wanted to quickly chime in on my thoughts about the whole winning ugly thing and celebrating every win. The way I look at it, and maybe you guys feel differently, but I kind of look at it as each team has 17 opportunities to win the game every single year, right? And at the end of the year, this isn't the college football selection committee. It doesn't matter what it looks like. When it comes January and we're determining the playoff picture, all we're doing is counting tallies in the W column. And if you've got more than the other teams in your conference, then you're going to earn a spot. You make it to the dance and you roll the dice and see what happens. Now, ideally, you want to be peaking at the right time, right? You don't want to keep winning ugly past Thanksgiving. You'd like to be looking your best. But when it comes down to stacking more wins than the other teams in your conference to give yourself a shot. So that's how I look at it. Every win is great. It gets you that much closer to getting into the dance and hopefully to take a shot at winning a Super Bowl.
I'm so, with you, John. Winning, it's John. Like so much better than losing.
Totally.
It's amazing, right? But anyway, wicked so awesome. My positives, number one.
Jesse, stop. This is not your call. Let John talk.
I think John likes it with Jesse.
No, he doesn't. He's being polite.
Tausch asked for it.
Not that much. All right. Sorry, John.
Yeah. No, you're good. My number one positive is it was blatantly obvious that Jordan Love needed that bye week more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I thought there were two plays or three plays that really stuck out to me. One was, I believe it was the second quarter. It was 3rd and 11. He drops back. The pocket was chaotic around him. He bought time. He stepped up confidently, and he ripped a laser to Christian Watson to convert.
Now, in weeks past, I feel like that would have been drifting back, floater off the back foot that maybe gets picked off, maybe sails out of bounds. But he stepped into that one and let it rip. Second was late in the game when he was scrambling and running for the end zone, and he dropped his shoulder to take on the safety, and he came up just short.
That was fun.
And then the third one was the deep over route to Watson on the final drive, where he really took it in the chops when he let the ball go. And he just really looked like a guy who trusted his bottom half for the first time in a couple of months. And I think that really, really bodes well for them moving forward. My negative, and you guys really hit this on the head, but I also think that this was the worst performance the defense put on the field so far this season. And I think they looked unprepared for a team that are going against a team in the Bears that could not get anything going. You'd have to imagine that with a new offensive coordinator, they're going to go quick game, they're going to go screens, they're going to get Caleb running. And it just seemed like they weren't ready for any of that. And if there was ever a week to bring back that sort of mush rush that gave them so much success against the Jalen Hurts and the Kyler Murrays and the Anthony Richardsons, they were just kind of sailing by him. They didn't have lane integrity, and Kalen got out and made some plays with his legs. I thought Quay Walker looked lost. I think the lack of depth behind Jair really showed its head because none of the passes were contested. It seemed like guys were running open all over the field and they were catching everything. So I'm a big Halfley fan, but I think he's got a lot to try to figure out before old Shanny comes into town next week. But I appreciate you guys letting me talk. I love your show. I'll hang up and listen.
Letting you talk, sort of.
Jesse. I don't have a boss.
Okay.
He's trying to go with
Irish
rude.
Pirate.
At a very boy, rude. How she
Jason, Jesse.
All right, two things that John said so we can get to the top of the hour and get some more calls. One, I think his point about Jordan Love is probably, in my opinion, the biggest takeaway from this game is, yes, he threw an interception. It was not on a bad decision. He sailed the ball.
Yep, bad throw.
That was it, right?
Yep.
And so he looked like we expect him to look. He looked confident. Mm-hmm. He looked fearless. He looked healthy.
Yes.
So that to me is the biggest thing.
Yep.
And then the Halfley piece, I don't know if he envisioned as much designed runs and one progression and go from Caleb Williams, but getting the ball out of his hand quickly after he was sacked 9 times
yeah,
the week before, you knew that was coming.
Yep.
And you were not able to do anything about it. So that's
well,
I think
and that's where Jason. I wonder if the Jair Alexander not being available effect
might have
hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know because you know typically if you're playing, I'm not putting Caleb in the same class as Lamar and or Jalen Hurts. You don't want to play a ton of man,
right?
Because you know obviously you want to have eyes on the quarterback, but they didn't make the adjustments. So you could say, well, they didn't expect this. They didn't well. All right, well, then let's make some adjustments, guys. It shouldn't be that hard,
right.
But I just...
And that's supposed to be a strength,
well,
when it has been, making adjustments.
I'm guessing we'll see a better performance come Sunday, because I can't imagine that meeting over there today on the defensive side of the ball is going to be very positive.
I wouldn't think so. All right, we need to get some more of your calls to kick off the 10 o'clock hour, 844-770-3776. That's our number, but the number to call if you've been injured is 414-276-6666, and that, of course, is Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. David and his team are the best in the business. They are a great partner for us. They are so loyal to our show, and we appreciate that. And they're loyal to their clients. They don't get paid unless you win, and they make sure you win. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more about the firm, about all the great lawyers that are there on David's team, and most importantly, everything they do in our community to support us as well. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.